Welcome to the Business Vitality Podcast. My name is Catherine Canty. I am the host and an executive coach. I work with teams, individuals, and leaders to help create measured leadership change. We do that using practical application, and our clients are creating 100% measured results as seen by those around them. Not necessarily what I think or what they think, but what the other people are seeing. And they are being recognized for the hard work that they're doing. If you're interested in learning more about some of the work that we're doing, you can learn more at CatherineCanty.com. I would love for you to subscribe to this show, to Business Vitality. This is my way to continue to pay it forward and share business best practices. Stay tuned and listen to the interview. Thanks for being here. Eric Stopper, you are the Chief Marketing Officer at Profitbull, found on the web at Profitbull.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Thank you so much. Tell me, I know I said profitable, but then when you read it, it says profitable, B-U-L-L. Tell me about it. How'd you get started in that, and how did you have fun with that name?
It's
okay for me to assume that you had fun with the name.
It was kind of an accident, to tell you the truth. I referred a deal to a friend. I had a client who was looking for Facebook advertising services, and I referred him to my friend who does Facebook advertising services, and this cat went and made him $5 million with $100K in spend. And so he came to me and was like, man, it was like a year later. He said, hey, like, we're starting up a little company. Do you want to come and join it? And I said, sure. I looked at the numbers. I was like, I could bring you, a couple dozen of these clients, and we have something really compelling. And that friend of mine and former business partner got sent a non-compete letter from somebody in the industry that he was working with, and he folded to it and took their deal, just wanted exclusive rights with him, and so left me with this other person that he had brought into the business with the logo and the brand name that I didn't have any say or control or involvement in at all. And we just like had to make this work, and it worked, thankfully. And this other person, his name's Phil Murphy. He's a great business partner. He was not my friend before. And I think I'm going to do that every time that I start a business moving forward. I don't think I'm going to do business with any of my friends, because it's been really great. Like, just almost treating it like an arranged marriage. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, you're going to make it work. You know what I mean? Like, this is the like, this is what we're doing. So we're going to make it happen. So pivot, and Profitbull is what it is today. We do AI and automated marketing workflows and landing pages. And I mean, we're deep into it. We're creating like AI agents that can handle your sales calls and your outbound booking and your, appointment reminders and schedules and all that kind of stuff. And it's really gotten kind of bananas over the last couple of months. We've cracked the code on a bunch of workflows that make people a lot of money. So we're spreading the word and getting it out, and people are biting, and we're having a lot of fun. So the name itself, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. We have to go ask my former business partner where, how he came up with it.
Do you still talk to that guy?
Of course. Yeah. Lifelong friends. Yeah. We met in college, and he's doing well. He doesn't even work with that company anymore, but he's got something else going on now.
That's interesting. So, talk about the AI. I think AI is one piece, but then you've got this other, the marketing piece of it. But before we get into the marketing, I'm curious, what are you seeing with AI, and what's your biggest learning moment that you're having right now with it?
Yeah. I'll say the ability to clone somebody into their own sales process without having them present in the business is pretty compelling. Especially for like physicians. Physicians want to follow up with you. They really want to coach you and, hey, how's your medication? Have you had any side effects? All that kind of stuff. They just don't have time. And so being able to create a duplicate of them that handles all their follow-up is it's a really strong use case. And so what I tell folks is, if you had 100% of your energy to devote to reaching out and nurturing one of your ideal customers, right? There's nobody else in the world. It's just you and them. when do you call them? What message do you leave on their phone? What email do you send them? What connection requests do you send them on LinkedIn? What, you know, do you send them a letter? Do you send them a note on Instagram? Do you, you know, like all the little strategies, what's the cadence of outreach that you follow? Do you try to hit up their colleagues and try and get with them? Do you create a Loom video to send to them? If you can define all of that as a customer, like purchasing experience, I can automate it. And that is magic. That's what we have discovered, is if you can articulate who it is that you want to reach and how you would like to reach them, we can use AI to make that process really clean and repeatable so that you're not doing it one at a time, you're doing it thousands at a time.
What if you're at a zero and you don't have thousands? Where are you finding those people?
We just use Seamless AI. It's like Apollo or Zoom Info, yeah. Really strong tool. So we're scraping LinkedIn, scraping websites, and oftentimes people know they've got like a event that they went to and they're like, hey, can you help me scrape everybody on this event? If they have emails and if they have names, we can put them into our database, scrape the info, clean it, and then load it into the system.
And are you scraping it from? Oh, go ahead.
No, please.
I'm curious where you scrape it from. Is it from the, you know, the register that they're giving out at the event, or where are you scraping it?
So LinkedIn has, like, whenever you have a LinkedIn event is specifically the use case. Whenever you have a LinkedIn event, they have a roster of everybody that signed up for it. If you are also registered as an attendee, you can just push a little button and it scrapes everybody. So we had one that had Deepak Chopra's speaking somewhere, 4,600 attendees, and we were able to grab them all. And so now what we're doing is after the event, we're dropping a voicemail to all of those people and saying, hey, I saw that you were on the event. I just wanted to see if we could connect after and get something on the calendar. And that voicemail drop combo after an event is powerful.
What's your percentage of that, of actual connections, maybe in that scenario or on average? I'm into metrics.
Yeah, it's a good question. So, and we've been crunching the numbers on this a lot lately. About half of everybody that you send a voicemail to is never going to listen to it. They are going to ignore it. They don't like phone calls and they don't like voicemails. I am one of those people, actually. So if somebody leaves me a voicemail, I assume that they can't listen, because my voicemail says, please don't leave me a voicemail. Send me a text. So if you have a text follow-up in that workflow as well, then you're going to win on somebody like me. Hey, I just left you a voicemail. So about half of them are going to ignore it. Half of them are going to listen to it, right? They're actually going to pull up the voicemail, and usually 20% of those people are going to drop off immediately. They're going to hear a voice that they don't recognize. Thankfully, I'm an American sounding person. And so, you know, a lot of folks are used to getting voicemails from the Philippines and Pakistan these days. And so 80% of them will listen. And the messages are usually pretty low touch, right? We're talking about customer experience here. It's like, I've gone through the process of knowing what I should say to the person to not feel like it's a sales conversation. And I'm either inviting them to a podcast, right? It's a great use case, or I just want to connect with them, or send them an invite or a coupon. And the call to action is really important. So of the people that listen to the whole message, half of them call back.
Okay, so let me get the numbers. So you had 100%, 50% listen, and then you said about 20% of those people don't respond. So now we're down to 30% of the 100.
Yep.
You said they respond. And how do they respond? They book something, or they're
just going to call back.
Okay.
And then you got to be on your game, right? Then you're in a sales conversation at that point. And, you know, you just got to be cool as a cucumber on the, you know, on the other line and just say, yeah. And, you know, I saw that you attended the same event as me, or whatever the, you know, whatever the scenario is. And if you are not great at that, then your setting percentage is going to be zero. If you've really like methodically approached that conversation and you've got a good script and you are good at, you know, listening to tonality and responding to that, then you can get a high percentage. It depends on client to client. And if we have it set up now where if I miss your call, an AI version of me is going to answer the phone and it's going to say, hey, like I can't talk right now, but can we get something on the calendar scheduled so that we can meet? And the the rates are all over the place on how many people book from that. I think we had probably 1,000 voicemails dropped, and it was able to book like, call it like 70 people from that. And that was just a push of a button. You know what I mean? Boom, send the message, and then booked 100 meetings off of it.
So when you book these meetings, are the average ticket price on these meetings, are they, you know, 100 to 1,000 or 2,500 to 10,000 or $50,000 tickets? Like what's the, I guess, average ticket?
It depends on what they're looking for. We give a lot of stuff away for free, to tell you the truth. And so we're invested in long-term relationships. We're looking at a lifetime value of, you know, 15 to 20,000 typically is the target. But they might just start with like a $99 CRM, or they might come on the podcast, and the podcast is free. They come on, we have a great show, they join the mastermind, and then they're on one of our mastermind calls and we're talking about AI and stuff. And they're like, damn it, like I need AI. You know what I mean? I need some help. And so we start with a $99 CRM. A lot of people do LinkedIn messaging with us. It's one of our more popular products. It's $297. We have bundles. We send messages to people on LinkedIn on autopilot. So you have a campaign that you want to send. You want to connect with a certain type of person. We will scrape the leads for you. We put them into the system. We invite them to whatever it is that you have. And we've got a whole like strategy session on, do you invite them to a podcast or an interview or a, you know, like a round table, or are you offering them a lead magnet? And then those are all booking into the CRM, and there's web hooks that also send voicemails and send text messages and stuff like that. Very, very popular product. We've got bundles to handle email marketing using AI and LinkedIn and creating like booking agents for you that are $1,000. We've got a LinkedIn lead magnet program that's $3,000 a month. We've got a TikTok program that's $3,750. You know, it's like there's all sorts of stuff out there that we're offering.
So people, you know, you're just going to begin to see more and more businesses automate a lot of this. Are these 1 and 2 person shops, or are these companies that have tens of thousands of people looking to get into new markets? What's your avatar that's using these types of things?
We're mostly working with folks under 1 million that have between 1 and 5 employees. It's a very common use case. There's a lot of folks that are coming from corporate. They're doing their first business and they need everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They know their little section of the market super well, right? They're really good at banking, and it's like, they don't know marketing. They don't really even know sales, or they don't know whatever. So we try and fill in all those gaps for them. And we do have some larger companies, you know, some that are publicly traded that are our clients, but most of them, it's like an entrepreneur who's got a couple of VAs, maybe one like rock star employee that works too much. It's a very common avatar.
You had mentioned before we hit play, functional medicine. Tell me a little bit about the area that you're in right now with functional medicine. I'm just curious.
Yeah. The company is called Zealot Health, Zealot health.com. And we sell memberships that include GLP-1 peptides. We also are a BAA with a clinic here in San Antonio that we can do testosterone and ED and, you know, all sorts of different types of medical products. The definition of functional medicine is typically that you are measuring, you know, anything about the body. And then you are exploring all of the different options that exist in this world, both holistic and traditional, like pharmacological solutions. And then you are measuring the effect of those solutions on them, right? So it's much, much more functional. Right? I have an A and I have a B. I'm going to compare those 2 points based off of my protocol. And then we're going to readjust from there. We track everything really nicely. But most people are coming to us for semaglutide and BPC-157 and TB-500, these GLP-1 peptides that help with inflammation and weight loss. And we have health coaching available. And then we have a ketamine oxytocin nasal spray that you can get that helps you chill out. It's a mild psychedelic. And so you can microdose ketamine and feel love all day while you're, you know, ripping your calls.
So how did you get into functional medicine and that from AI and your partner that you had that was your friend, that guy stuck with the, I guess, the non-compete. So now you're best friends with your arranged spouse and y'all create some AI and some marketing. And then now you're doing some micro dosing.
Yeah. It was
super happy during these sales calls. How did functional medicine jump in the middle of an arranged marriage?
It was a way more natural, connection there. So that original business that I referred to, the business that I now own, was a functional medicine clinic, right? The company that I referred to, what was becoming
Zealot.
Yeah. So okay. So I was at an Amazon marketing agency. I've been doing Amazon for like a decade. And one of my clients he was like affiliated with a clinic. And he said, mm-hmm. I need somebody to help me run Facebook ads for my clinic. So I referred him to my buddy who had started this company. So we went out and we got like 25 clients, all functional medicine related. And, that's how we got into it. So along the line, we saw, we have a solution that can be applied to a lot more broader audience and we can sell peptides, you know, like there's nothing keeping us from doing it. And so that's how we got into it.
That's interesting. Simple. All right. So I'll go ahead and ask you, you mentioned that you have a podcast, Pulse Ox. Okay. What kind of topics are you guys talking about there?
I interview entrepreneurs on their stories of self-discovery. We are in season three. Season one was all about The Secret to a Good Life. Season two was all about mystical and miracle experiences. And it was far out. It's been a blast. We talk about ayahuasca and loss, death, and love, and business failure and success. And there are some stories in there that will elevate your consciousness and make you, you know, doubt everything that is in this world. The number one podcast for the year is by Sarana Health's own Hanul Bhandari, Dr. Hanul Bhandari. He tells a story about how when he finished applying for his residency on the 15th floor of one of the hospitals in Houston, a phantom ghost like janitor came up and put a handwritten note on the elevator door that said, don't use this. And he looked at him, he said, you can't use the elevator. So he's like, okay, fine. So he starts to walk down the stairs and the elevator crashes to the bottom of the floor. It would have killed him. He runs back up to go find the janitor and there's no janitor assigned to that floor at that time. And there's no note on the door. And so we tell stories like that and it's really cool.
That's cool. You know, the universe is speaking if we're willing to listen. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned something before as part of this process, I try to get a little bit of intake, but I want it just to be free flowing when we talk about this kind of stuff, but something caught my eye, which was to create wealth, live on your 25-year-old budget. Is that something that still hits home with you? And what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, it's almost impossible, I think, because I got two kids and they love things and I'm married and she loves things as well. You know, I would love to say that we are following all of the best tips and tricks of all the Dave Ramseys of the world and putting all the money away and everything. But, it's a turbulent financial world. You know, there's inflation to account for and new bills. And, you know, it's like, we bought this house and we love this house, but this house also is a liability, right? Mm-hmm. I guess it counts as an asset technically, but I've got a lot to say on the financial side of things. I think that one of my main things that I talk about is to transcend income and get into cash flow. And so try and live your life as if you're, you know, on a very basic income and try and acquire cash flowing assets, whether that's an ATM or an Amazon business. You got to get something that doesn't actually require your touch for it to make money. And that's more of the world that I'm leaning towards now. Like, budget what you need to, pay for what you need to, live the life that you want, and elevate your cash flow to support that lifestyle.
All right. So I'll ask a couple different questions. If you're, you know, we have friends that have kids getting out of college and they're starting, you know, you see them going down, making these decisions to start keeping up with their parents' lifestyle because that's what they've become accustomed to, but that's not reality. What words of advice do you give to these kids coming out of college that are used to still living on mom and dad's payroll, but that's not living? I mean, that's, I don't think living on the 25-year-old budget, if you're trying to keep up with mom and dad and the lifestyle they created for you. What are your words for those 25-year-olds?
You know, thankfully, my dad has lost my family's money a couple of times over. And so he did that recently and put all of his money into a crypto bet that didn't work out. You know, God love him, but he just, you know, he went all in. So when I left the house when I was 18, graduated from high school and went to college. And I was a leaf that fell off the tree, and I was just a leaf in the wind. I worked, you know, really hard and ended up living in Hawaii and California and Missouri, just like a bunch of random places, but I got to see what's out there and I got to do it on my own. And so I would say, leave as soon as you can, like get away from that. And I don't put any expectations on myself for my parents' lifestyle. I frankly think that like, we're probably doing a little bit better than them right now. But it doesn't really matter to me. You know, my tastes are simple. I think that's probably what I would say more is focus on the experience and like, don't try and get a big house or a big car and just live your life and have fun and find those activities that you truly love. And it's funny. My son has been asking me recently, I have an 8-year-old and a 16-month-old. The 8-year-old's been asking me, Dad, what's your favorite thing to do? And, I've had to think about that. I'm like, not work. That's definitely not it. I think I love playing the ukulele the most, hanging out with you guys and playing the uke. And so that has had me shift my priority, my focus. And if I can make one last recommendation, it would be there's a meditation that you can do that Jack Canfield puts on. He wrote Success Principles. And in that meditation, he has you, you know, relax and enter into this, you know, this field. And then you go up to the top of this mountain. At the top of the mountain, there's a temple. And in the temple, there's this angel that comes from the windows and hands you a box. And you take the box and you open up the box and you reach into the box. And whatever you pull out is your focus. That's what your subconscious is serving to you. And I did that recently and I pulled out a toy, just a little stuffed duck. So I'm definitely in the dad phase right now. So if I were to talk to my 25-year-old self who had a kid, right? I had a 1-year-old when I was 25. I would, I hope that if I did that meditation back then, I'd also pull out the little stuffed animal from that box. Focus on the people that are around you rather than the tasks or achievements that you're trying to get, and life will be rich and wonderful and full of love.
How long have you been meditating?
Since 2015. There's a story on my YouTube channel about a chakra opening experience that I had. And it was, it's far out. Go check it out. Eric Stopper Chakra. If you look for that, you'll find it.
There's a lot of benefit to meditation, but so many people have a hard time getting into it. Do you find that you're trying to help people understand that there's benefit to meditation, and maybe you're giving them some pointers, or you've already surrounded yourself with people of that caliber that knows the importance of it?
I mostly talk with entrepreneurs all day. Like that's who we're serving. And they are so like high stress and high energy that they have already discovered meditation for the most part, just by virtue of like having to deal with it on their own. I would tell everybody to go do yoga for like 6 months and you'll be into meditation. It's like a guarantee. If you go be a yogi for a little bit, then you'll find the path and get there quick. And if you have issues sitting still, you know, make it a game, give yourself rewards. If I meditate for 10 minutes, I'm going to do X for myself. I get to go get, you know, my favorite treat from the store.
I think my favorite, and this is probably a sign of my attempt at trying to get lazy, is yoga nidra.
Have you done that one?
For some reason, for me, it's like a total reset. It could be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, go do yoga nidra, and I'll feel like I just woke up from the deepest sleep, but it's maybe 20 minutes of my time and it's a game changer. So there's so many different types of meditation that's out there. It's not just sit there, you know, in the silence. There's so many different variations that can be pulled into it. So if you're scaling a business, and I'm going to just kind of jump back in. You had mentioned earlier about customer experience. You're into the customer experience process. If you're scaling, what is it doing to your customer experience? What have you found that is allowing the customer experience to thrive with a business that's scaling? Because it's a trick, in my opinion, of being able to balance it.
Get out of the way as quickly as possible. Hire people that you trust, teach them the process, and stop touching them. Stop touching it. Let it run. You know, let your count on your team and let them do it. And I'm super guilty of not letting that happen. And I just blow everything up whenever I try to re-engage. And I'm just like, no, talk to your account manager. Like, they got you. You know what I mean? If you really need to get on a call with me, like, here's my calendar. Let's wrap. Let's do it. Let's record a podcast. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Eric Stopper, you're the Chief Marketing Officer of Profitable, found on the web at profitable.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the episode. If you like it, please subscribe, share this episode or this show with other people around you. The greatest form of a compliment is a referral. I really appreciate them. And if you think that you want to learn more about some of the work we're doing, I encourage you to reach out to katherinecanty.com. You can schedule a call or just continue to read articles and information that we post out there. Thank you so much for being here.